meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Welcome to your first class of the morning, Band of Manitoba. Mr. Goldsborough is here to talk us through a class exercise. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So you put a question out from last week's clue. I think lots of people will be fascinated by this because it's something that we can do ourselves.
That's right. I hope so. I hope it'll get them involved in doing some research because, you know, one of the questions that I get asked a lot is, how do I learn the history of my house? When it was built? Who lived in it through the years? And so I thought this week we'll give you a few tips on how we might tackle this question.
So where do we start, first of all, if you want to learn about when your house was built?
Well, if you have a house in Winnipeg, a good place to start is the City of Winnipeg's website. They have a searchable database of tax assessments. So you simply enter the street name and the number on the street, and it tells you a number of details about the house, including the year that it was built. But be careful in reading too much into those records. According to the city, the Fool's House, which is on Palmerston Avenue in Wolseley, was built in 1911. But historical research confirms that it was actually built in 1872.
Right. Well, that's quite a difference of almost 40 years.
Right. And we found numerous other discrepancies between the city database and the historical record. But it is a good place to start. And my wife and I use it a lot for our daily walks around the city to find out when the houses in a particular neighborhood were built.
Do these online records say who built the house?
They do not. They don't give you the name of the architect, if there was one, or the name of the contractor, or the identity of the owner. But if a person wants these details, it might be possible. But it would require a visit to the City of Winnipeg Archives to see if they have a building permit for your home. You know, if so, building permits provide wonderful details about the structure of the house and maybe more significantly, who built it and lived in it. That's a relatively easy question to determine using something called the Henderson Directories. These were annual directories published starting in 1880 and going right up to 2000. And the idea was that in these large books, they have a listing for every street address in Winnipeg. They would typically give the name of the primary occupant. They wouldn't list all the people living there, but they gave the probably the person who paid the tax bill anyway. Sometimes it gave their spouse's name, and somewhat interestingly, it would give their occupation. So by stepping year by year through these directories, one can reconstruct sort of a chronology of occupation for pretty much any address.
Where could you find these directories?
Well, paper copies are held in the local history room of the Millennium Library and at the Legislative Library of Manitoba. Unfortunately, both of those are presently closed, but there is a way to search them right now.
How?
Well, luckily for us, the University of Alberta in Edmonton has scanned most of the volumes of the Winnipeg Hendersons up to 1965 and then makes them available on their website. These scanned volumes are not text searchable. In other words, you just can't put in a word and it'll go away and come back and say, these are the volumes in which you can find it. You have to kind of look at them just like a paper copy. It's just the only difference is that it's now on the screen instead of in your hands. But if you're patient, it is possible to make a complete history of occupation. Maybe I can give an example.
Yeah, that would be fun. Which house are you looking at?
I reconstructed the history of occupation for a house in the Fort Rouge neighborhood at 777 Warsaw Avenue. My reason for selecting this address will become clear, I think, in a minute. I started with the City of Winnipeg's tax assessment database, the one I mentioned, and it told me the house was built in 1913. Now, this sounded right and was confirmed by the Henderson Directory. The house was missing from the 1913 directory, the year the house was built, but that was not surprising because the directory was usually compiled early in the year, and it's quite likely the house was maybe built later in the year before the directory or after the directory came out. Sure enough, the house was there in the 1914 directory.
And do we know who the first occupant was?
We do. It was a fellow named William P. Fillmore.
And I know you know all about Mr. Fillmore, so tell us.
Absolutely. Well, so I consulted the Memorable Manitobans collection. That's a collection compiled by the Manitoba Historical Society, available on our website. And lo and behold, there he was, William Parker Fillmore. he was born in Iowa in the U.S. in 1882. He came to Winnipeg in 1902 with his family, and he articled in law until 1907. He was called to the Manitoba Bar. He practiced law as a lawyer until 1972 when he retired. But, you know, the interesting thing, I think, is that his law firm still operates today. It's known as Fillmore Riley.
No way.
Mr. Fillmore himself died in 1972. He lived at 777 Warsaw until 1954.
Do we know who lived in it after the Fillmores?
Well, in 1954, the house, it was a two-story house, was turned into two rental apartments. One was on the main floor and the other was on the second floor. In 1959, the middle part of the year, the house was purchased by Polish immigrant Ludwik Zbigniewicz, known as Lou for short. Now, Lou, his wife Ursula, and their two daughters, Maria and Helena, lived there and converted it back into a single-family residence in 1971. I first visited 777 Warsaw in 1980 when I began dating Lou's daughter, Maria, and she became my wife 38 years ago.
Okay, so I have so many questions about Gordon Goldsboro's love life, but I feel we should stay on track.
And
I'm
we should.
I'm glad she ended up being your wife, although it would have been juicier if perhaps she wasn't. Anyway, I digress. Okay, so those are all ways to figure out histories of houses in Winnipeg. Are there ways a person here can research houses in other cities?
You can. So, for instance, the Henderson directories, which are so useful. There is a version for Brandon that is available online at the University of Alberta. It covers the period from 1906 to 1955. So not quite as wide as the Winnipeg range, and unfortunately not every single year, but many of them. In addition to that, the city of Brandon has tax assessment rolls, not quite as good as the online database the city of Winnipeg has. They are archived in the basement of its city hall. And I know they're there because I've been down there and I saw boxes and boxes of them in tall stacks. So you could do the same sorts of things with those paper records as we can do here in Winnipeg.
What about other places in rural Manitoba? Is there a way of reconstructing their history?
Well, every municipality around Manitoba is required by law to maintain those tax assessment records, the ones that record every single year to whom a tax bill was sent. And they're supposed to keep them right back to day one, the very beginnings of the municipalities. Now, in some cases, of course, they have been lost through some sort of disaster, but a lot of them say they go right back. So, for instance, the rural municipality of Portage-la-Prairie has a wonderful collection of those tax assessment rolls in its municipal office. And I've dug through them quite a few years ago to record the history of the cottages at Delta Beach. So you don't have to worry about, you know, being in a city necessarily if you can get access to those tax assessment rolls. Another source of information for rural Manitoba are aerial photographs that are held at the Manitoba Air Photo Library here in Winnipeg. I've used air photos to find the locations of long gone one-room schoolhouses. Of course, Nadia, you know how interested I am in one-room schoolhouses. And, you know, if they're long gone, I mean, how do you know where they sat? Well, air photos, they show them quite clearly. And I've done this for the rural municipality of McDonald. So that's another good source.
How much time does it take to do all this research?
Well, it really depends on the sources of information that are available. If they're online, of course, it takes relatively little time. You might be able to do the research on a house in a matter of an hour or less. But if they're not online and you have to go to an archive or to a library, you know, it might take weeks. It might even take months. In some cases, it might be impossible. But you won't find out until you try. So I thought, well, maybe I'll help listeners get started if they're interested in doing this. I've put a list of useful online resources on the MHS website. So if you go to the website and go in to mhs.mb.ca/house history, you'll find some links to some of the sources that I use.
Such a great idea, Gordon, especially as people are racking their brains for things to do during this pandemic. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, quite happy to do it.
What's up for next week?
Well, there's a large abandoned site, maybe one of the largest ones we've talked about in this series, right here in Winnipeg, that I've been holding back for a year and a half at the request of the Department of National Defense. Next week, I will break my silence.
So dramatic. I love it. Gordon, thank you for this.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.